Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. You are Lord of all, and you are Lord of this church. Lord Jesus, you are the head, the chief cornerstone of this church. Our foundation is in you. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love each other as we love ourselves, and we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this church, Lord, this strong family of faith, Lord, that trusts you, that believes you. Are we perfect? In you, we are perfect. We are made in holiness and righteousness, Lord. You have reborn us, birthed us into your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, we're working out our salvation, Lord, getting our minds renewed to your word so that we can think, speak, and act, Lord, like you. That's why you sent us your word, so that it would not return to you void, but that it would accomplish everything you sent it for in this world, in your church, and in our lives. And Lord, we just lay hold of that truth. We stand firm on that truth, Lord. We don't care what things look like. We don't care what things feel like. We look to the eternal things. We look to the Word of God. And Lord, we just stand firm and stand fast in faith, believing you, Lord. You are building your church. You are building this church, Lord. And Lord, we just love you and praise you and thank you, Lord. Lord, let your word flow through Miss Carol tonight as never before. Father, pour out your anointing on her. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, there was a part of that song that's talking about the fountain of blood. There was an old song that says, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." You know, if we're plunged beneath that blood, it washes us for all our guilty stains. And the reason that I'm saying this is Ponce de Leon was a guy that came over all into Florida and trying to find the fountain of youth. I mean, that's what he was known for, was the fountain of youth. Well, the blood, that fountain of the blood is the fountain of youth. And he didn't know, he never found it. But we did. Hallelujah, that fountain of youth. You know, God has called us to be in this day and this hour. He's called us to action. We're to be in active service for him. But you know what? We have so much clutter and so much stuff going on in our house, in our lives, until sometimes we get sidetracked. I mean, like this woman, she's walking down the hallway talking on her telephone, and she's calling her friend. And she said, "You know, I have looked everywhere, and I cannot find my telephone anywhere." She was talking on it. That's as bad as having your glasses on the top of your head and going all over the house looking for them. Well, we're not going to get off track. We know what the Lord is doing for us. He has called us to pull our own little red wagon. All of us, I'm sure, have a full little red wagon. Our times on this earth are a proving ground. That's why we're here. All the trials we go through, you know, it's testing. It's a proving ground. Test after test, trial after trial, we pass them all because we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, there was a day about 4 or 5 years ago whenever I read in James 1, "Count it all joy whenever you fall into all of these trials and temptations." And I just had a knee replacement. Well, there was anything I could do. I could not call it all joy. I mean, when you're in so much pain, you're thinking, joy, joy, Lord, help me. I just need your help. Hallelujah. There was a question I wanted to ask everybody. Do you remember the day or the time that you were saved? Every one of us more than likely can go back to that time when we were born again. And the reason that I'm asking you this, there's a young couple that was living together, and the girl was invited to church by a friend. Well, that night, she got gloriously born again. And when she got home from church that night, she told her fella, I can't live in this house anymore with you. And he said, why not? She said, I've just got saved and I can't live like this anymore. He said, well, I want to get saved too. You know, so the next night she took him, and this is what I want to talk to us about. There's people out there that they don't know one thing about the being saved, born again. They don't understand what that means. They have no clue. And so when she told him, well, whenever they give an altar call, he didn't want to know what an altar call was. You know, when you get to church, you know, that's when you go down and get saved. Well, that night they had a visiting pastor. And so he was talking and carrying on and going on, you know, and all of a sudden this guy looks at his girlfriend and he said, I'm sick. I'm going to be sick. She said, shut up. It's just the devil. He just don't want you to be here. And it was the truth. But who told her that? I mean, it's a fact that she was born again, a brand new creation in Christ. And it's like God just showed her these things. Well, he walks up to the front whenever the man is talking. And he stood at the front, and the man looked at him. And he said, did you need something? And he said, yes. And he said, well, can I help you? And he said, I need to get saved. You know, in the middle of the service, that night, that man got saved. But when I got born again, nobody had to tell me that I couldn't wear those same kind of clothes to church. Nobody had to tell me that I couldn't be a party girl anymore. Whenever I was born again, I was so gloriously changed. Whenever the Lord Jesus came into my heart, it was like I was going this direction, and now I'm going this direction. Totally different. I couldn't have the same kind of friends. Carrie was born again at this time. And we'd been party people with a lot of people, and this guy one night, we weren't drinking anymore. Glory to God. He saved us totally. And we went to this retirement party, and this guy's always, you know, the life of the party. He's taking everybody's order. What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink? And it got to me, and I said, a Coke. He said, are you perverted or something? I said, no, just converted. And so a girl that I did her hair at the shop that I worked at, she went and had a T-shirt made up, not perverted, just converted. And so, you know, you have to change. Your lifestyle totally changes. And I've been born again now probably 45 years. And it has been it's been interesting. Been through many, many trials, as many of you are, and many of you are going through right now. Sunday, whenever we're getting out of the car, coming in the church, the girl that got out of the car, next to us, she said, I just tell you what, she said, the devil's been on my shoulder all week long. And of course, this girl is new. I mean, she doesn't know all the lingo that we know and all. And you just want to tell her, you know, well, what are you doing letting him sit on your shoulder? But, you know, she doesn't know that yet. So that's where we come in to disciple these people that are coming in. And they don't know how to walk it yet. But thank God Patricia had a book in her car that she gave to the girl that would help her on the way. And that's what any of us, all of us can do. All these little books that we have out here, give them to our new people, you know, so that they can learn what it means to be born again. They can learn what it means to be a witness for the Lord. You know, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, the scripture doesn't say the devil goes around like a roaring lion, devouring everyone in his way. It says the devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And seek, in the Greek, it says, it means to pursue, track down, search for. You know, the devil is seeking and he's after us. So that we have to make sure, you know, that we walk a straight line. If we have allowed sin in our lives, the devourer will find his prey. Sin has a stench. And like a bloodhound, the devil is tracking that scent. It's the smell of death. It's sin. The devil is not looking for something alive and healthy. He's looking for those wounded by sin and in a weakened condition. And that's why we as the body of Christ need to be very careful to encourage the household of faith. Household of faith. I know that every one of us see people every day, you know, that need an encouraging word. Hallelujah. That's all I wanted to. Mike, could you put that picture up? I got this book, Forgiven, several years ago. And that picture, to me, says 1,000 words. What else can you say when you look at this modern man just totally given up? He's got the mallet in one hand and the nails in the other that put them through Jesus's hands and feet. But then our Savior sees fallen man, which is all of us, and he loves us just like that. He doesn't want any of us to fall. And there are so many, you know, and we are all guilty of that sin of Christ dying. You know, he didn't have to die. I mean, he could have called 12 legions of angels and stopped it. He willingly died for the whole world to do away with the sin problem. So then we have to walk in that place and love him dearly. I love him so much for what he's done for me. You know, tonight my lesson is called Fresh Anointing, Fresh Oil. And every one of us needs to be refreshed every day. You know, we're going through things in our life and it's at the end of the age and things are getting closer and tougher, and you know, we just have to keep that attitude that we are more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. But in Revelation 12:11, I wanted to read that verse. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I wanted to just reassure and let everybody know, we overcome. We overcame. When Jesus overcame, we overcame. We have won. We have won. So we don't have to go around, you know, thinking, you know, how bad it is and all of these trials and everything. And people do get themselves in a fix, you know, by believing what the devil has to say. In John 16:33, and this is in the Amplified, and I just wanted to say right here, nobody likes to go through trials. Nobody. But Jesus spent 3 years going through trials every day. Do Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace and perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. I don't want to be in the world, do you? But be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain and undaunted, for Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's in the Amplified Bible. You know, that's what Jesus was saying about that scripture. I've already told you that. I've overcome the world for you. Yes, you're going to have trials. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. But I've overcome them for you. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, we fight the good fight. All of us, you know, that have some age on us as far as being born again. I'm not talking about you have to be 15, 16, 70 to have. I'm talking about being born again for a while, that you've learned the word, you've been in the word, you know the word, you've been ministered to. But we are still in this fallen world, but we're not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We can't be an effective witness if we still allow self to rule. We must talk like, walk like, and look like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. Whenever I found that in my Bible, I marked it in red and I put to remind me that I have the mind of Christ. I don't care what lie the devil tries to tell. We have the mind of Christ. And Ephesians 5:1, and I love this, be imitators of God in all that we do. That doesn't mean we are perfect. It just means that we're on our way. Hallelujah. I wanted to share something else. Okay, right here. On YouTube, I love to watch horses. We never had horses growing up. I never was around horses, but I see these gorgeous, beautiful horses. And I am just so impressed by them, and they seem so intelligent. You know, for the people that love them as pets, not work horses like we used to have, you know. These are pets and huge horses. I love them. And it says, champion horses are thoroughbreds, and they just flat know who they are. I mean, I've seen them, you know, in whenever the champions, you know, like at the Kentucky Derby, and they are really beautiful horses, and they walk like it. I mean, their head held high. They don't look like a mule or anything like that. They flat know who they are. As they don't look or act like mules or donkeys because they know they are different. We are each champions because the blood of the champion of the universe lives in us. He changed us externally, internally, and eternally. That blood flowing in our veins, just like the song we sang tonight, flows in our blood that we are champions. When the devil looks at us, he sees that blood. And it paralyzes him. It scares him. You know, I heard somebody preaching the other day, and they said that most people give too much attention and too much credit to the devil. Whenever we need to be praising, you know, and giving praises to our Lord and our God, and not be so caught up in the things that's going on in the world. Whenever I had said, you know, the fresh anointing, fresh oil, you know, I know that some of you remember when this ministry first got started, and there were some of us that from the beginning said, this is a ministry of excellence. We wouldn't, no matter what went on, and no matter who came and who went, and I'm talking about the ones in the pulpit, we never lost the sight of, this is a ministry of excellence. I see the people that are working here now that have places here, you know, that you're people of excellence because you care what's going on in this ministry. That if there's something to be done, you do it. You know, you don't have to be pushed to do it. Anyway, you can't push sheep, you have to lead them. But it says, you know, the reason I said fresh anointing and fresh oil, the whole body of Christ all over the world need to be encouraged. We need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed. We need to be restored. And we need to be transformed. You know, every bit of that's a scripture for every one of theirs, those five words. And while I was doing that, I was thinking about somebody that we were talking to the other day. And I was so thankful that we went to her house. And she had allowed herself to listen to the devil. And he had told her that she was just under a lot of condemnation. Just a lot of condemnation. But you do know that in Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, he'll tell somebody whenever he gets you at that place, you're not even saved. But we know that we're saved. Hallelujah. But if we get off track and the enemy starts harassing you, just turn to 1 John 1:9 and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he will, and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, the devil can't hold anything over your head. He can't tell you, you know, that you've blown it, that it's over, that you've blown it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there are countless numbers of Christians that are fighting the fight of faith right now, right here in Grady County. We hear it every day. But you know what? Jesus did not leave us here to fight this battle alone. He did not. He sent us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our helper, I'm coming undone. He sent us the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our helper, our intercessor. He never leaves us. In Hebrews 13:5, and this is important for some of you, you know, that you just, during that day, you say, well, God, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't see you. Well, he says, himself has said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And verse 6 says, so we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. And in Philippians 3:22, it says that our citizenship is in heaven. Glory to God. We're not a citizen of this world anymore. We're just passing through. But God called us that while we're in this world and that we have his name and we have his blood, you know, that we are to bring as many into this, the kingdom of God as possible. You know, I heard somebody talking the other day and they said they believe that God is delaying his response to come back because he doesn't want to lose anybody. He wants everybody to come to know him. He doesn't want to lose his sons and daughters. He wants everybody to be saved. So we need to be about the Father's business. We need to keep our oil replenished. That's the Holy Ghost oil. It says, don't let your oil run low. If you let the oil run low in your car, you have a red light to warn you. Well, how do we know that our oil is running low in us? The way we replenish the oil of the Holy Spirit is Jude 20, 2 Timothy 1, 6. It says, stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up. There was something I'd written down over here. It said, God didn't tell us that some speaker or some preacher would stir us up. He said, stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Because there's no telling where we may be when we need a real touch of the Lord. And we always know. Hey, that's why it's so important we need to memorize scripture. Because it's always there written on the tablet of our hearts. And thank God Carrie and I did that a few months before I had knee surgery. And I am so glad that we did because it took us through so many trials that we went through, and it was not a good time. It's good to have a prayer partner. We all need one, but they can't always look to others. We can't, to pull us out of the pit. I think it's great because during this time that Carrie and I went through these trials back in 2018, but we learned all of this other stuff in 2016, never knowing how much we were going to need it up ahead. But God knew. The reason we keep our oil replenished, the Holy Ghost oil, if we don't keep the Holy Spirit in our life and building ourselves up in the most holy faith, the Holy Spirit, the flesh life will take over. If we allow all of the Holy Spirit to run low, we will find ourselves impatient and angry and critical. We begin to be critical of other people all the time, and that's a real sign of the oil of the Holy Ghost is getting low. What happens? One prayer, 1 week without prayer makes no. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Jesus is coming back for a church that is full of love and encouraging, encouragers to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I had some scriptures that I wrote down here, and I thought, and it's really a whole, it's in a nutshell. Keeping ourselves built up, keeping ourselves with fresh oil, keeping ourselves in the Word all the time. And one of them, and I wish I had known this long ago. I didn't know this when I first got saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I could have used that so many times ministering to people because being a hairdresser, you know, I just had people right there that I could minister all the time. But I did not know that scripture was in there, and it just tells you how to get saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, underline it so that whenever you are talking to somebody or you remember, you know, that's what that says, and you need to share it with somebody. Or they may ask you, where is that found in the Bible? Have you ever had somebody ask you, where's that found in the Bible, and you didn't know? Then you make it a point to know where it is. Okay, and then again in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it's talking about leaving the past behind. All of those things that gave us such a hard time when we were in the world, that's past, that's dead. We're a new creation. That stuff died. We don't even, you know. And another thing, if it tries to come back and sit on your doorstep, I want you to remember something. You can't drive your car looking in a rearview mirror. You've got to let those things in the past die. Just don't bring them up. Don't talk about them. Because if you start talking about them, I've done this. You start talking about them, they come just fresh as they did when they happened. So you don't want to talk about them. Whenever the devil comes and says, remember when? You say, no, devil, get off my shoulder. You're a liar. I don't receive anything you've got to say to me. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that's another thing, place where it says for us to, we're to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and not conformed to this world, but transformed. Well, how are our mind going to be transformed? It's by staying in this word. It's by reading this word. It's by knowing what this word says. Of all that I've went through with this lesson, I think it's been about a month, hasn't it? That I've looked over and gone back and done this and done that, and I'm thinking, I wrote down so many times and so many different things at different times that, Lord, Holy Spirit, just going to have to show me tonight, you know, what to share. So anyway, the other one is Galatians 5:9. And I want y'all to mark these in your Bible, because this one is very important. It says, to be you encouragers to the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs encouraging, and God has called us to do it. Those of us that's been in the Word for some time and we know it, we need to be encouraged. We don't need to be telling them something that's going to pull them down. We don't need to be telling them something that somebody said. You know, God said he hates gossip. That's one of the seven things he says he hates. We need to encourage the body. Encourage each other. Then in Proverbs 4:20, and I really sort of got into this a little bit whenever I was going through this, when my knee was healing. And it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. And it goes on down to say, for they are life and health to all your flesh. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Now, why did he tell us to guard our heart? Would it be because the devil's out there trying to put junk on us all the time? The television, if you turn it on, there's nothing good. Anyway, Romans 8:37, he tells us here in no uncertain terms, we are more than conquerors. That means abundant victory. More than conquerors means abundant victory. And then, and this is not a good report, the one I'm fixing to do right here is in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And how close we are to our precious Jesus coming back. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it talks about the great falling away, the great apostasy. There would be a falling away whenever the man of sin is ready to come and take over. Well, let me tell you what. Since it's called today, let's do what God has called us to do and be about the Father's business. 7:47. Okay, I wanted to. I think I got a couple of things I want to share here. These are 10 must for overcomers to keep fresh oil in your tank. So I'm going to read them to you, and I'll say them slow enough that you can write them down if you want to. Number one, we must know we are in right standing with God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are in right standing. If you don't know that, you'll listen to what the devil says and says, you're a worm. You know, you're not even saved. You know, the devil can tell you all kinds of things if you listen to him. We're not listening to him. Because he said, and we know, I know, that my Jesus caused me to be in right standing with my Father because he was the giver. Number two, we must know our dominion and authority in this earth. We must know that we have authority. We must know that we have dominion. I think it's Luke 10:19 that says, beloved, hey, I have given you all power. I've given you all authority over all of the evil demon powers of the earth. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, God has already given us power and authority. Number three, we must know we are redeemed. Hallelujah. If y'all don't know that song, you know, the redeemed of the Lord, hey, you need to learn and start singing it because it's a joyful song all through the day. We are the redeemed. All right, number four. We must know, not just think so because we read it in the Bible, by actions that we have, we must know that we're overcomers. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We must know we are overcomers. Number five, all of these things, when the devil comes and sits on your doorsteps and tries to tell you all these lies, you can remind him of all of this because every bit of it is scripture. We must know we are conquerors, more than conquerors. We must know that we're more than conquerors. That means not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. That means that we're a champion. Number six, we must know we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus, our elder brother. He's our advocate. Oh, how I love my Jesus. Number seven, we must know that the blood of Jesus paralyzes Satan and his cohorts. Know that when you use the blood, and we need to use the blood every day. Every day, use the blood. Use it, say it, praise it. Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, it's something that we should be saying every day. It pleases the Father because that is his Son. Number eight, we must realize when we plead the blood, all heaven stands at attention. All heaven stands at attention when they hear the blood mentioned. Hallelujah. Number nine, we must walk in forgiveness. That's one of the greatest ones. Because if we're not walking in forgiveness, nothing else in your life is going to work. That is very, very important. Number 10, this is a biggie too.
We must give God control of our mouth. I think it's in Psalms 141:3, where it says, God put a guard at my mouth and a sentry at the door of my lips. There's a lot of things, you know, but God takes this unforgiveness very, very seriously. In fact, I think when Tisa and I went through some things when she was growing up, and I think she didn't like me too good, and I didn't really like her too good either. But we got past that, and she had such unforgiveness toward me. And I never had unforgiveness toward her, but I was mad at her. You know, and she found in the Bible that, you know, I'd been praying for, I had as thick as this, I had that many scriptures that I'd written down that God had given me praying for my child. She was a teenager. And she found in the Bible where God says, unless you forgive, I will not forgive you. Unless you forgive, I will not forgive you. Well, you know, in Mark 11:23-24, I think it's a scripture after that where whenever he says that you can have anything that you ask for, that you say, but then it goes on to say, but when you stand praying, forgive. Don't give your offering. You go get that taken care of. Now, first, forgive, or your offering is no good. So God thinks very, very strongly about unforgiveness. So we must keep short accounts. Short accounts, David. That we forgive each other. You know what? I have enjoyed sharing this with all of you tonight, and I'm sure that I did not get through with everything that I wanted to share, but I am going to close with a prayer, and I thank all of you that you've been here, and you've been so wonderful that you got these 10 things down that you can share it with somebody else. You know, maybe you don't need it. Share it with somebody else, because there's people out there that need to hear that, need to hear it. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you, Lord, that it is powerful and it is great. And Lord, I thank you that it's accomplished tonight, Lord, what you have sent it to do. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, one thing I wanted to share about these handouts. Did everybody get one of these? Everybody? Okay, because they've been around for a long time. We've had these for a long time. But you know what? Do you see that little kitty looking in the mirror? He doesn't see himself as a kitty. He sees himself as the Lion of Judah. And you know, when we look in the mirror, we don't see ourselves, you know, as just down and outers. We're washed with the blood. We're blood bought. We're more than conquerors, overcomers. So every bit of this says, I am, and it has a scripture behind it. Wonderful. And if you need any more and you see somebody that needs one, that you work with or something, those are powerful because it tells you, and it's a scripture behind each one, that's the word of God that you're saying over yourself. I am like a child of God. I'm redeemed. So anyway, God bless you.
Let's go ahead and dismiss, but I wanted to, Don, what you got? Come on up. Don's got a quick testimony. We're going to let him share that.
Hey, we got a testimony through Pastor Ronnie Pierce in Tennessee. That's Jason and Lynn's pastor in Monterey, Tennessee. And Jason and Lynn have been out of work for couple of months now, they were both fired on the same day from Amazon. Jason worked for them for 12 years, and without any excuses or explanation or anything, they fired both of them on the same day. And he's been looking all over for work. He put his testimony on here. Thank God, the 1st of October, him and Lynn both have another job, paying better than the ones before him paid. And God has been with them through this whole thing. And we communicated with them every day. Every morning when we do our morning reading and our quiet time and prayer, we pray for my children, her children, our grandchildren, our friends and family. And we pray every day that God would lead them to the right place. And Jason put on here, every testimony starts with a test. As most of you know, I have been working with the same company since 2011. I started out loading trucks and worked on my way up supervising inventory quality department, traveled around the country helping to train new employees. For the past couple of years, I've been doing what I can, what can be described as loss prevention and account investigations. What most of you don't know is that last month the company and I parted ways, not on friendly terms, but simply I got canned. Not severe severance, no warning, no discussion, just gone. In less than an hour, my access to 12 years of emails, spreadsheets, and training materials have created and contact with work friends and colleagues was cut off, to say nothing of my own income stream. Even worse, Lynn had started working for them in December of 22, and she got the same treatment on the same day, so we suddenly had no income at all. Some people have gotten depressed. We got to praising God. We knew that we are subject to all the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, and that we have the favor of God on our lives, no matter what it looks like. Jesus said in Mark 11, 22-24, that we can have whatever we say when we have faith in God, so we got busy saying. As of this week, we both have better jobs, making more money than we were. We have not missed any payments, have not gotten hungry, have enjoyed our time together at home. God is good to me, and his word always works for anyone who will put it to work. That's Jason's testimony.
That's a great, great testimony. Amen. God does answer prayer, and we do pray. We believe God. We believe his word. I want to encourage you as we walk out. We've got a great quality opportunity to invite our friends and family like never before. You know, we used to just say, come on to church with us. Come on to church with us. Add this. If you want to check us out, go to our church page on YouTube, because we've got every video Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and the quality is par none. There's no ministry out there with better quality than what we're putting here. Now, the preaching and the teaching, you know, we want to get that, and it is. It's way up there because we're trusting God's word. But the view, the imagery, the video, it's second to none. It's second to none. So do that. Encourage your friends. Do this also. The little e-bulletins that we send out, share them. Forward them to your friends and family. And they can click that little YouTube tab, and it takes them straight to our YouTube church channel. And they have opportunity to get the word without getting out of their comfort seat at home. So let's do that. Can we do that together? Amen. Lord, as we go out, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful night. Thank you, Miss Carol.